Who's Afraid of ChatGPT by Martin Compton. I've been teaching in one way or another for 30 years this month. Every time I'm thinking I'm getting the hang of it, something new comes along heralding an education revolution. But then I'm reminded that change in education is often incredibly slow and at best superficial. The shiny things often quickly lose their allure. How we teach, how we assess, and most importantly to my mind, how we relate to our students need not be fixed, but effecting positive social justice informed changes, such as those represented by teachers going gradeless, is notoriously difficult. Despite frequent frustrations in this domain, I often marvel at how optimistic I am. I mean this only in a professional sense, though. Like many a stereotype of my generation and nationality, I'm afflicted with eternal pessimism when I think of my English football team's chances and the perhaps slightly more important prospects of the UK's economy under our current government. But despite daily exasperation and disappointment elsewhere, I tend to be optimistic and annoyingly can-do at work. This came in very handy when the implications for education of COVID-19 started to become apparent. And likewise, recently, when contemplating the potentials and threats to traditional methods of education and assessment, and life as we know it, if some commentators are to be believed, of novel text and image generation tools, collectively and commonly referred to as AI. Sometimes circumstances throw opportunities or necessities our way, and we witness sudden changes in practice. COVID-19, of course, necessitated huge and swift changes in modality, pedagogy, and assessment practices. But the prevalence of deficit narratives in relation to how education happened in this period, typically and unhelpfully referred to as online learning, are indicative of the power of conservatism and strong structural desires to resist sustained changes and return to the comfort of normal, despite many clear benefits, such as those identified by Disabled Students UK. The immediate panic in some quarters at the start of the pandemic have been echoed recently as teachers the world over gasped in horror as open AI tools like ChatGPT offered credible, grammatical, and passable responses to some of their standard assessment questions. It should be mentioned at this stage that this isn't as new as some might imagine. AI in the context of education has been the source of anxiety for decades. Witness the predicted calamity promised by the pocket calculator, the mooted threats to basic language skills created by spelling and grammar checkers, and the end of language learning seemingly signalled by instant translation tools. Even the concerns so prevalent as I write were being discussed as imminent way back in the heady days of pre-COVID in-person conferences when my colleague at UCL, for example, Professor Rose Lucking, who knows a lot more about this than I do, was arguing that we should be thinking carefully about the consequences of the weight we put on knowledge-based education. In my role, I work as a faculty developer in a very large English university, I lean heavily on my compassion-first approach at the start of the pandemic, broadly aligned to what we at UCL have framed as a pedagogy of care humanifesto. My message then, as now, was don't panic, let's talk this through. Whereas COVID-19 precipitated necessary changes, the phenomenon itself has been perceived as transitory, a hurdle to overcome on a fixed path. But AI is here to stay. So it's not just hurdles we need to navigate, but decisions about which gates to open as we choose new paths to follow. The capabilities will only improve, but to be clear, I do not think we're on the precipice of a takeover by robots, and very much appreciate the wisdom of experts able to articulate its limitations, such as Janelle Shane on her blog AI Weirdness. If this is a crisis, then this could be another catalyst for systemic and sustained change to the way we do assessment and feedback. It's also entirely possible that the knee-jerk reactionaries will attempt to ban it and regress further into an imagined idyllic past where assessment for everyone is a handwritten, lengthy essay about facts they've memorised, produced in a huge hall policed by people with very squeaky shoes. The largest part of my career was in what are called access programmes in vocational, that is, further education colleges in the UK. These programs are designed for those who, like me, had left school at 16 or who failed the exam-heavy so-called gold standard university entry qualifications, A-levels, but were looking for an alternative path into university as mature students. By design, those qualifications were inclusive, minimally graded, dialogic, flexible, and innovative. We designed our own assessments with deliberate contrasts to the A-level, and inspired by student ideas, these took interesting forms and often incorporated digital innovations. As my career transitioned into teacher and lecturer education, my enthusiasm for pedagogic and assessment innovation grew proportionate to my realization of how my experiences with access programs were very much an exception to the rule. My optimism and belief in the possibilities and affordances of doing things differently led me to explore and experiment with a range of digital assessment and feedback alternatives to the typical and conventional. I trialed a range of multimedia assessments, audio and video feedback, digital portfolios, open badges, and all manner of subversions along the continuum of ungrading possibilities. Some of these were spectacularly unsuccessful, open badges, whilst others were incredibly rewarding and transformational. In particular, I found audio feedback and audio submissions transformed the ways in which I was able to engage with my students, and they, in turn, were able to engage with and use feedback productively. Establishing relational literacies, as Amina Payne and colleagues put it. However, I soon learned that the growing body of experiential and research evidence barely chipped away at conventional practices, despite my advocacy and enthusiasm. So it was, originally towards the end of 2020 and then updated in 2022, that I asked a similar question to the one I'm asking in this article. Will COVID-19 finally catalyze the way we exploit digital options in assessment and feedback? I was tentatively optimistic that many of the practices, such as greater use of multimedia assessment and feedback, I saw colleagues across the sector exploring by necessity, would become normalized. While the events of the last 3 years have undoubtedly advanced the breadth and depth of engagement by teachers and lecturers with these approaches, we are a long way from normalization. That distance means that associated benefits central to going gradeless are less likely to be normalized too. Whilst lack of time or I'm not allowed are usually the go-to reasons for not exploring digital assessment and feedback opportunities and all the equity potentials implied therein, we are witnessing an attitudinal sea change as a consequence of teacher experiences of the new innovations in AI. It matters not that it's misnamed. It's largely inconsequential that the generational tools have massive flaws at this stage. What matters is that there is a perceived and pressing need for substantial change, and whether we like it or not, control or at least influence of the response narrative is imperative. We need to do all we can to respond to fears by offering colleagues insights and alternatives other than the reactionary. While increased surveillance and monitoring may be the instinctive response for many, we have in front of us an opportunity to do the things many of us have been advocating for years. I work closely with the Faculty of Life Sciences at UCL, and several colleagues have put essay and short answer questions through ChatGPT OpenAI. Even from my lay perspective, it becomes quite clear that the types of knowledge-based questions that are largely unproblematic and the types that tend to flummox it can be seen easily. Locating outputs away from the purely factual and theoretical to the applied, seeking explicit connections to in-class experiences, and above all, finding ways to decenter the grade and re-energize student interest in the process, not the product of their education, should be driving us all right now. My optimism is tempered by the concern that fear will drown out reason, but is simultaneously emboldened by the knowledge that the groundwork is in place. We have to hand years of sound and compelling scholarship of teaching and learning to draw on, as well as the new necessity that is not going away. I believe the machines could and should herald a new and help a new dawn of teaching, where we can realize a more humanized, compassionate, inclusive, process-focused approach. The more of us that unify behind this message, the more likely that it will be realized. Thank you.